Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is How to Come Back from a Sin or Wrong Choice. None of us are perfect. We wish we were perfect, but we're not. We all make mistakes. Definition of a mistake: an action or judgment that is misguided or wrong. And we not only perform misguided or wrong actions, mistakes, but we also sometimes make wrong choices. Definition of wrong: incorrect or not true. In every Christian's life, there are times when you know what is the right thing to do, what is truth, but you still choose to do the wrong thing. I have made both mistakes and wrong choices in my 20-plus years as a Christian. If we are staying in the Word of God and in prayer and doing our best, the number of wrong choices and mistakes we make become fewer and less often the longer we walk with the Lord. Our spirits are being continually washed in the water of the Word, and we are training our flesh in it little by little, albeit painfully sometimes. I've noticed over the last few months, as the coronavirus pandemic has taken hold in America, that I've not been spending as much time in the Word as I normally do each day. For a while at first, the need to know what was happening, the need to know the new numbers, came back to my mind over and over until finally I would turn on the news for a few minutes and get the answers. I never kept the news on for very long because it was never good news during the pandemic. You know what I mean? At the very beginning of the pandemic, it was all bad news. Especially, well, when a plague is going around, it's just going to be bad news, y'all. And that's just kind of depressing. It does not take your mind any place good. One day I realized I had some situation, and I opened my mouth to decree the word over it, and I realized I could not remember the scripture verse I knew. And this was a verse I knew for a long time, and that alarmed me. I had let the cares of this world creep in, and the enemy had stolen the word out of my heart. Okay, this is a word for somebody. There are some people that in this pandemic have come out of their walk with the Lord, just like come all the way out of it. And he is saying, come back to me. You are my love. Come back to me. I will help you. I will guide you. And there is a woman, this is a separate word, there is a woman listening to this who is really, really scared about the coronavirus. You are more afraid than most people are. And it's not from exposure. The Lord says the enemy has been telling you lies to make you afraid. And he is making you think that you are more vulnerable to it than you actually are. The Lord says to you, woman of God, decree my holy word over your body each day, and I will protect you. Decree it shall not come nigh you. That's in Psalm 91. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. Do you not know you are safe in my hand? It's not far from the enemy stealing the word out of your heart to going back into sin, y'all. Circumstances that we hoped God would prevent in our lives can cause us to lose faith if we are not careful to guard our hearts. And the enemy is out to use every event in the world to steal back as many souls as he can. There is no one who walks a perfect walk, no matter how big their ministry is or how pure they seem. The only one who ever walked without sin was Jesus. The rest of us are all just down here doing the best we can. So then, what if you are a Christian and you fall into a sin? Or you just do a sin and you're grieved that you did it, of course. How do you come back from that? How do you get firmly back on the right path again? First of all, let me tell you something. I learned early on that the more closely and intimately you walk with the Lord, the longer and more painful your mental torment will be if you fall into sin. If you even do a sin once, that's how bad it is. I still clearly remember when I was first saved in 1996. I had not known the Lord very long, but I had a very intimate walk with him. And let me tell you something. When you get saved, especially later in life like I did, your flesh is programmed to doing whatever you want to do. Okay? So your spirit gets renewed. Your spirit gets completely recreated into a new being, but your flesh is still stuck back there in the old ways. Okay? So if you are in that predicament, let me just tell you, you are not alone. I was there. It takes time to train your flesh. What you have to do is you literally have to starve it to death of whatever sin it wants. That is the only way to get past it. I have some teachings out on my YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One, about tearing down strongholds and overcoming sins. And in those teachings are what God taught me about it. But man, I had to fight that thing, y'all. And you don't understand when you first get saved. You think everything's going to be great. You know, I mean, you don't know. And then your flesh still wants to do all the stuff it did before. It's like when you go on a diet. When you go on a diet, you're not used to eating the new way. Your flesh still wants to eat all the ice cream. It wants to eat all the donuts, all the stuff that it had before, right? Okay, it is the same thing when you come into this walk. Your spirit got saved. You're on this track. You want to do the right thing, but the donuts are still calling you, okay? Think of it that way, and it'll make a lot more sense. You have to walk away from those donuts a whole bunch of times before you don't want them anymore. So there I am in 1996. I've been saved like 20 minutes, you know. But I had a very intimate walk with the Lord. I spent hours every day worshiping and reading the Word. I understood almost nothing of what I read. I mean, I really did not have understanding. I was reading it. I didn't have any revelation on any of it because the Word is the only book on earth that is alive and that the author who wrote it is with you every time you're reading it. And the Word has so much power in it that God has to keep it locked up until He knows you are very serious in your walk, and then He will unlock it so that you can get the revelations from it. He can't let just anybody get those revelations because they have too much power. There is so much that you can do with the power of the Word. Okay, now, so there I was, and I'm reading the Bible, and I'm worshiping and everything, and I've been saved my 20 minutes. And I fell into a sin. And by fell, I mean I chose to do something I knew I should not be doing. The mental torment, y'all, was awful. It was, I still remember it clearly. That's how awful it was. And it has been like 22 years, 22, I don't, however many years it has been. 24 years, I can't do math today. And the mental torment was long. The devil is happy to torment you long after you've received forgiveness too, by the way. And since I did not have any knowledge of God's grace at all, I thought that I was going to hell, okay? The devil told me that that was it for me. That was it. You only get one chance, and if you messed up, and so that's it, you're going to hell. That's it. You might as well just give up because you're going to hell. And that's what he told me, and he told me over and over, and he would not leave me alone. Christians, even those with very intimate walks, who have been saved more than 20 minutes, do make wrong choices. Every day, there are even Christians with very strong walks who've been in the walk a long time who, for one reason or another, choose to sin. Sin has its payoffs. Y'all, a donut's a donut, okay? Y'all know I like donuts, right? They just don't last very long. Sin's payoffs do not last. They are very temporary pleasures. If I choose to eat a bowl of chocolate ice cream while I'm on a diet, that ice cream will have its payoffs. The flavor and the enjoyment of eating it are the payoffs. But then come the consequences, right? The bad way your body feels after eating something you know is not good for you. That higher number on the scale, those are no fun. But, you know, you play, you got to pay. But then I am also faced with, okay, I made a wrong choice. Now the pleasure of sin has come and gone, and I am faced with the consequences. Now, how do I get back in the walk with that beautiful Savior that I just betrayed with that sin? I don't know if people talk about this a lot. But because of the times that we're walking into, and we're going to talk about that some more in a minute, that's why I want to talk about this. You may or may not be facing this today, but we are in the end zone of the end times, y'all. We can see the goal line. We can see it. If you live long enough in this time, you will likely face this at some point or many points, depending on how strong your walk is. Since it's something easy for everyone to understand, let's use a wrong relationship as an example for this teaching, okay? Let's say you're a person like in their 30s or something, and you're seeking a godly spouse, and you've given God your list of all the things you want, and the most beautiful prospective mate you could ever have imagined has appeared in your life. I mean, you can't even believe it. And they like you, and they're actually pursuing you, It's as if the Lord has answered all your godly mate prayers at once, and you are so excited. Okay? And then, let's say they seduce you. For a moment, you falter, and you make that wrong choice, and you fall into that sin with that person. And then the relationship goes on for a while, and you're still so happy you found them, but then things begin to fall apart a little at a time. And eventually, you realize the whole relationship is doomed, and one day, it just blows up in your face. And wrong relationships will always blow up in your face because God will not play second fiddle to anyone or anything else in your life. And anytime you choose something that God does not want you to have or something he has forbidden over him, that is idolatry. And he's gonna crush that idol, y'all. He's going to do it. And for those of you who are new to listening to me, God bless you if you are praying and believing for a godly mate, but be advised, anytime you pray that, the devil immediately starts preparing a decoy mate to send to you to get you into a relationship that is totally wrong for you, that only looked like what you wanted. The Lord says this is a word for somebody. I think more than one person, but for sure, there is one man. You are in a relationship with a beautiful woman. She looks like everything you want, doesn't she? She can talk that walk too, and you are so excited you found somebody pretty that also knows about the walk with the Lord, and you are making plans to propose to her, aren't you? The Lord says, hold up, she is not what you asked me for, she just knows how to keep up a front. If you marry that woman, your life, you know this word is for you because you can feel it in your spirit. The Lord says, if you marry her, your life will turn into a nightmare. She is carrying major demon spirits that will torment you every hour of every day. The Lord's showing me now, you have kids from a previous marriage, and she will run them off. She will run them off, and they will blame you. The Lord says to tell you that you are judging by what you see on the outside, and that beauty of appearance has become far too important to you. You are kind of young. And physical chemistry is very important to you. He says Jezebel had beauty of appearance too, but she was only wickedness in all her ways. The Lord says to you, if you will await and accept the woman I have prepared for you, I will put the chemistry there and it will surpass anything you could possibly imagine. Okay, back to our message. You met somebody, they seem like the one. And then they seduced you, you got into a sin, and now you're not with them anymore, and there you are with your dashed hopes, your broken heart, and your regret from getting into a sin and out of your walk. Now you're single again, and worse, your walk with the Lord is in big trouble. You have been unfaithful to him. That's what sin is. Did y'all know that? It is being unfaithful to the Lord. Anytime we choose sin or Satan's way over doing what's right or God's way, we're unfaithful. What to do now? Give up on being a Christian and move on? Just be a lukewarm Christian? One who allows sin to stay in their life and be spewed out of his mouth in the end? But you miss the intimacy you had with him. You miss your faith. Have you ever noticed your faith does not work the same when you are in sin? That is because sin puts up a barrier between you and the Lord. Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 3, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So at first it says he's not where he can't hear, but he won't hear because he sees the sin. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Another reason we don't want to sin is John 8:34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The English Standard Version says is a slave to sin, and slave is the truth. Because if you don't overcome your sin, your sins will eventually overcome you. It's like drugs. You start out taking drugs, but keep on long enough and the drugs will end up taking you. And this is the ultimate goal of Satan, to kill you and to destroy anything you might accomplish for God's kingdom. So you realize you miss those times of worship. How could you have stayed away from him for so long? Have you ever noticed you cannot enter into worship when you're sinning? When you've gotten off track, you either avoid it or you will find you cannot really enter in without first truly repenting, because he is drawing you to that repentance, because he don't want to see that sin. He don't want to see that. He wants you back. He misses your time together. He longs for you to come away from the world and spend time alone with him. 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now we know the meaning of the word repentance is to change direction. It actually means to change your thoughts as well as your behavior. Now we know that our behavior springs out of our thoughts, right? So we really need to reprogram our thoughts first. So it is a change of mind and behavior both. So hopefully you've done that now. If you're in a sin, you've done that. You've turned yourself around and you've headed back to the path of righteousness. Don't stay in the pig pen of sin. That's not a good place to be, and you definitely don't want to be there when Jesus comes back. It should be noted here too that part of the reason sin is so serious to the Lord is that all sin is unbelief manifested. We fear something not happening, or we fear something happening and we sin to prevent that, or we need something we don't believe God is going to supply for whatever reason, to somehow try to meet our own needs, then we'll do a sin. This is one of the reasons I felt we needed to talk about this today, because we live in a time in history that is unprecedented. We are in the end zone of the end times and the end of all things, when we will face these kind of situations, I think, maybe far more than previous generations had to. And I'm talking about times of lack, times of not having what we need. This pandemic has showed us, it has shown us beyond any doubt that even in America, the store shelves can be emptied. The Lord takes unbelief very seriously. But what has shocked me in this pandemic is the lengths that people will go to. That really surprised me. Where I live, people are breaking in and stealing food out of people's houses. I think that they got their checks and they went to the store to buy groceries and there wasn't anything there. So they started breaking in and taking what they needed. Okay, so how do we get into these situations? Not talking about the times of lack, but the times of other types of sin. A situation presents itself. Temptation comes. If we know ahead of time, maybe we think of what to do to mitigate the circumstances and resist the temptation. But usually Satan will try to set it up so you don't have any time to think ahead and plan. So you'll fall. If we don't know ahead of time, we may make a wrong choice very suddenly without thinking about the consequences, or just rush into something thinking God's in it, making a mistake. I was talking to Nicole about this show and she said something. She said, you know, we are all under such tremendous pressure right now with everything that's going on. And we were talking about food availability and economic changes on top of the risk of, you know, a deadly virus floating around. And we are. And when we are under pressure, when there is turmoil inside of us, not just outside of us, we do need to be extra careful that we don't like flip out on people or rush into things that shouldn't be rushed into, or get into sin just trying to find some relief from the fear and strain that so many people are experiencing right now. Something I've noticed is when times get very fearful in a person's life, people will rush into a marriage that, you know, in a relationship that really you're not to that point, or you're not that sure, but you'll do it because you're afraid. And maybe both of you reach out more in need than in love. Pay attention to these things. If you're out there dating, pay attention, because a wrong relationship will mess you up so bad. Our first step in getting back on the right path is always recognizing we have done wrong. Okay? We can't repent until we know we did something wrong. As I reiterated before, it is possible to sin in innocence. You thought it was okay to do something and found out it's not. Either way, we still have to repent. And because I would not want any of you to think that you can pull an innocent act on the Lord and have it work, remember that he knows all the thoughts and intents of your heart. So he knows if you know or not it's wrong. I'm just saying, for the people that think, oh, I'll just pretend I didn't know that was wrong. Don't think that. So when you repent, you change your whole way of thinking and you change your behavior so you will not do that sin again, okay? So the next thing we should look at is trying our best to stay out of any situation where any temptation to sin might present itself. If there are people that just rub you the wrong way, avoid them if you can. That way you don't flip out on anybody, have to repent for that. Third, think of how you might respond appropriately and righteously if temptation does show up somehow in any situation. You know, if we will rehearse those kind of things in our mind, then when the situation comes up, maybe we'll be more prepared, right? We all have things that we're tempted by. If we think ahead of time, okay, this is what usually gets me, how can I respond to that? If that situation comes up today, how could I respond to that? Lord, how would you have me respond to that? Okay, so we'll think ahead of time. Fourth, if we have done a sin, we need to not let the devil get us into condemnation. Satan loves to tempt you to sin and then condemn you for it when you do. Like that first time I sinned knowingly after getting saved, he tried to make me think I had lost my whole salvation. He knew I didn't know any better. And it was 6 or 8 months I grieved over that and thought that I was doomed and I was going to hell. And God spoke to me one day using a billboard in Patterson, Louisiana. I am not making this up. A billboard in Patterson, Louisiana that had 3 crosses of Calvary on it, and it said, "His offer still stands." And I was on my way from New Iberia to Morgan City, and I saw that, and I just started weeping. In fact, I think I pulled off the side of the road because I was crying, and then I turned around and I took a picture of the billboard. That billboard changed my life. It put me back on track with him. I was so happy that he took me back. And then I learned, you know, no day comes as a surprise to God. No sin that we commit comes as a surprise to God. Nothing we do surprises him because he saw the end from the beginning. He knows that there's going to be sin from time to time. He wants us to do our best not to sin. If we do sin, he wants us to get up, dust ourselves off, repent, and get back on the road. We have to get back on the road because we have work to do for him. There's not a lot of time left, and he doesn't want to stand hung up on that stuff and not getting the job done, okay? All right. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's why we should not feel condemned. I mean, yes, sinning is wrong. Don't get me wrong. We should feel bad when we sin. We should grieve over our sin. We should grieve because God wants us to be grieved if we sin because it grieves him. But we should not be condemned and just, you know, hang on to it for 6 months. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's Romans 8:1. That is my favorite verse to throw in Satan's face when he comes at me with something I've done wrong from any time in my past, any time. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1:9. So we need to confess to the Lord and repent and ask forgiveness. Okay, let's do a little summary of the steps. I like to summarize everything, including a few notes. Number one, recognize if you have done wrong. If you have sinned, recognize that you did wrong, okay, that it was a sin. Number two, do not let Satan get you into condemnation. Just shut him down. Speak that verse to him. There's now no condemnation. Or just tell him, "Satan, that's exactly why I needed Jesus, because his blood covers my sin." Confess to the Lord that you know you have sinned, okay? Repent, truly repent. Change your thoughts, change your direction. Get you a plan in your mind how you're not going to do that sin anymore, okay? That's changing your mindset because now you're not going towards any kind of sin or any just, you know, taking chances. You are going strictly away from it. And ask him to forgive you because he's just and righteous to forgive you when you ask. But you have to ask. You do have to repent, okay? Accept, truly receive that the Lord has forgiven you. That's how you get out from under the condemnation too. And now he's also watching over you to keep your word that you change direction, okay? Keep your thoughts where they should be, not on wrong desires. James 1:15, "Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. The wages of sin is death." This will help you to avoid sinning or making mistakes in the future. Keep your thoughts where they should be, okay? So number one, recognize you have done wrong. You have to recognize that you've sinned. Number two, don't let Satan drag you off into condemnation. He's going to come early on that. The minute you sin, he starts condemning you for it, the very second. Number three, confess to the Lord that you know you sinned. "Lord, I did this sin, and I realize that's not pleasing to you. Your word says not to do it, you know. Number four, repent. Truly repent. That means change your direction. Change direction, turn around, do a 180. Change direction. You should be able to hear the screech marks when you hit the brakes. And change your thoughts. Make a plan for how you're not going to do that anymore. And ask forgiveness. Number five, accept. Truly receive that the Lord has forgiven you. I've seen people who sinned and they just could not receive God's forgiveness. We have to forgive ourselves too, you know. And that probably should have been, you know, number seven, forgive yourself. We need to forgive ourselves because sometimes that's the hardest part. Because we expect a lot out of ourselves, you know. I expect a lot out of myself. If I get into a sin, I beat myself up for usually months. Y'all, we are going to need stronger and stronger faith and more self-control as we move into each day of this future that we're going into, okay? The pandemic was our dress rehearsal for what is coming. We all learned some stuff from it. The biggest thing I got from it was, number one, how quickly something deadly can start killing us with no warning whatsoever, just no warning. I mean, God's given us words about it, but we didn't know when it was going to show up. And number two, how fast the base element in people comes out when the chips are down. That part really shocked me. That was jaw-dropping for me, how fast people turned ugly and turned on each other and just abandoned all moral and all honor and all decency, taking food out of other people's cabinets. Really? I mean, that's just sad. Maybe I'm naive, but I honestly thought it would take longer. And that must break God's heart to see that. We are in the end zone. Our goal is nearly in sight. We just got to keep going to get to it. And then we can leave all the sorrow and all the problems of earth behind us. And we want to run this race really well and make God proud of us. We want to honor Him in the way we walk and talk and dress and conduct ourselves every day. We want to honor Him. We will be under increasing pressure and stress and face increasingly hard choices the longer we remain here in the earth because of the time we live in, which the Bible itself says will be a time like no other. We are not in the tribulation yet, don't get me wrong. That will be far worse. But the time we're in is already difficult. I believe we're in the travail, we're in the labor pains, and I believe they started with the big earthquakes and different stuff before now. I think they started years ago. The Lord told me back in, I think it was 2002 or so, that we were in the time of sorrows. So we were already in the time of sorrows at least 18 years ago. So the woman's been in travail for a while now already. And what that means is, if you've ever been around anyone when they gave birth, I have given birth to two children. The labor pains become more intense and closer together until by the end of the labor, right before you deliver, you cannot catch your breath in between the pains because it's like the pains all become one long pain. And I believe that's what we will see in this travail. When the Bible compares something spiritual to something physical, you can figure out what it means by looking at the thing in the physical. Okay? Labor pains are evenly spaced. They become increasingly long and increasingly intense. So if this pandemic is a labor pain, and it has already been months long, and it's pretty intense already, imagine what the next one will be like. The next labor pain, the next, you know, event. And earthquakes, pestilence, famines, all these different things are going to be some of the labor pains. So we need to keep all that in mind. And as they happen, don't panic. Just know it's God's word being fulfilled because He's told us it's going to. I hope this show has been a help to you. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.